Hey guys and gals, welcome back to another Monday evening live stream. Tonight, I'm joined by Tiffany Kipe, and yes, I had to ask her how to say it because I am famous for butchering names. I'm joined by Tiffany Kipe of 25th Hour Cleaning, who, it's kind of interesting. We were talking just before we started here, and she lives about an hour, roughly an hour from where my grandparents lived for like 40 or 50 years. So I grew up driving through her town to go see my grandparents. Kind of cool. Like, it's a really small world. Tiffany, I was super excited to have you join me on the podcast and talk about kind of your transition into, I'm not sure exactly what all you had going on before you started this business, but from where you were at into a cleaning business, I'd love to hear a little bit of that story and what got you started, made you decide like, hey, I'm going to start a cleaning business.
It was necessity, first of all, because I had young kids and I was a single mom and I wanted a flexible schedule. So I wanted to be my own boss and went the solopreneur route, just to look for that flexibility in what I was doing. And it worked well. I loved setting my own schedule, working my own hours, what I was doing. I really wanted something that was going to help me relieve stress during the day. I was kind of having this like jealousy thing about all these fitness people that were out there just getting to hang out in the gym all day. And, you know, I'm like, well, that looks great, but I don't like working out. So what am I going to do? And it turns out cleaning was my stress reliever. So that was really started, was just a little side hustle to start with and then picked up really quickly. This industry is a big growing industry right now. And so it didn't take any time. Within 6 months, I had a full roster of clients and was in over my head already. And so then it was just deep diving into it. We met.
Wow, that's yeah. Keep, yeah. Sorry. There might be a little bit of a lag. Okay. So if we overclock, that's okay.
Sure. It's my connection. When we met, I was steering out of solopreneurship because I had some health things coming up, and the service industry, especially cleaning, is pretty difficult on your body over time. And so I didn't want to keep doing something that wasn't going to be sustainable long term and still wanted to be my own boss. So that was when I started diving more into coaching and mindfulness training and all these other little things. And was running away from leadership. I didn't want to be anybody's boss. I had, this business was huge and, you know, I had a reputation and I had all of those things in place, but actually bringing in employees, and it felt so risky. And I heard so many people talking about nobody cares about your business as much as you do. And it's so much easier just going solo with these things. It's so difficult training somebody to do your job the way that you do it and uphold that reputation. And so that kind of scared me away from it for a little while. I didn't want to dive in. And when I finally did, just a couple years ago, I decided to just go all in and bring in the employees and figure it out. And it's been a huge journey, but I've learned a lot. And it's been a lot of fun kind of playing with how to get people to care about your business as much as you care about your business. So making it a win-win for them too,
Exactly. That can be a real challenge in any business when you do make that transition from doing everything by yourself to trying to bring in other people. Talk a little bit about the mindset that it takes to transition from the solopreneur business. Like, I'm the everything guy. I go talk to the clients. I give out the quotes. I do the billing. I fulfill all the projects. What kind of mindset has to happen to shift from that to actually having employees and managing them and have them do the work while you work on the business rather than in the business?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I can break that down into a 30-minute episode of what has to change. But, you know, it's just a lot of opening and surrendering to the process of, you know, knowing that each step, each thing that I'm able to delegate to somebody else, I'm helping them. I can help them develop skills in an area. I can make something that's bigger than just me. It took a big shift around getting clear on my values, I guess, and the vision that I had. Was this something that I just wanted to build as my own personal thing, or am I really trying to make a bigger difference in a community and contribute to the people around me as well? I think that probably it was the biggest shift, taking it a little bit more from this is for me and my survival and my security in life to how can I help other people get to the same point of feeling a little bit more freedom in their life. And, you know, my vision's very much about changing the way that employees are treated in workplaces and making them kinder places to be. The number of people that I've had say, I've never worked for somebody kind before, floored me. Still to this day, I have people saying that to me and I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't understand why it's that way. I think that if you're working anywhere, you should be developing yourself while you're there, right? Whatever you're doing, it should be adding to your life too. You're not just supposed to be somewhere for somebody else's dream. What are you building on your way to? So that was a big shift for me, being able to think about how this was an opportunity to do that on a ground level with people and help them from such a place of, you know, we all have to have a job. We all have to.
Yeah, for sure.
So if I can give you an opportunity to have a job that can also help you set goals and move towards them and put things in place like cleaning. I don't know if you remember from when we were coaching, but I was very into mindfulness and breath work and presence and what you're doing. And cleaning is a great industry to also put that in place. We have great structures and things that I'm able to work with and say, you know, if you can focus on this and use this as a mindfulness tool, active, moving, mindful practice every single day, you're getting 6 to 8 hours of something that can really alter the way that your brain is working and help you move forward in life with more clarity without you even really having to try that hard.
Yeah, it's interesting how just the way you view the work that you do, like thinking of it in that way versus, oh, I have to go clean somebody else's house because they don't want to clean it. If you look at it as that, you know, I'm developing myself into, I'm becoming a better person through this, and how can I work on my mindfulness, work on who I need to become through this work? It can shift how you view things. And while you were talking, I had a couple of questions that I wanted to ask. The first of which is, how were you able to overcome, or maybe you still face this, but most business owners that you talk to who, they're like, you cannot find good help. And valid, yes. And most businesses aren't really much fun to work for. So how were you able to navigate that and create a business and be the kind of leader that people actually want to work for? What's different about you and your business?
That's a really good question. And you're right. That's the thing that I hear so often is it's so hard to find good help and there's nobody out here that wants to work. And you know, turnover is something that we've definitely faced. And I still, you know, we've gone from having 9 cleaners in the field to down to 1 before. And so we have our highs and our lows. And I think really it's been learning not to be afraid of making mistakes, because I've definitely done that along the way. And but to to not be afraid of them means that I can learn from them more easily and I can use it as a tool every time and get more clear on who I want to be working for me, the clients that I want to be working for, the clients that I want my employees to be working for, you know, gaining a lot of clarity around those things and using tools like meditation and prayer. And, you know, law of attraction is something that's really popular right now. And everybody talks about that, but I don't think we talk enough about how much it takes really like connecting to what that is that you're wanting to build in the community that you want to have and the people that you want to have with you. Every time that I get more clear on that, I pull those people in and they just show up. And like I said, this is, it's kind of been a transition job for other people too. Like you get in here and people do find clarity. They do go, oh, I know what I want to do now. I know where I want to start heading from here. I am becoming a different person. And so that turnover sometimes is hard when I'm like, well, I don't have the stuff right now to take you to a different level, but best wishes on your way there. So a lot of non-attachment to things like that, a lot of just accepting that you have what's in front of you to work with and all you can do is the best that you can with that and not be attached to every outcome and think, you know, I need this employee to be my 5-year employee or I'm not going to be able to make it work without everything working in this way and, you know, being flexible with those things and also still solid in the values that you're holding to and the vision that you're trying to create, making every decision based on that. You know, in our interview process and when I'm talking to new employees, those kinds of things are what we talk about the most in the beginning to really push those things home. And it kind of becomes this qualifying piece where if somebody's not lining up with those things, they're naturally going to be pushing themselves towards the door. They're not going to want to
be
around in this. I'm talking about how you need to put love and care in your work and you need to, you have to be able to show gratitude and be positive with these things and really look at it as development. If you're not on board with that, you're going to get real tired of hearing me talk really quick. But when you are, it's super encouraging. It's, you know, I really put a lot of focus on the employees and what do you want? What do you want to build? And then having the ability, I guess, to get clear on what it is that I need from them and being able to present that with confidence to them instead of coming at it, one thing that I really had to work on was people pleasing and not wanting to be the boss and wanting to make things work for everybody. And that was a big lesson. I lost a lot of money trying to work business that way. You know, you can't make it work for everybody. You can't make it fit. A lot of people don't even know what they actually want. So trying to make it fit those things doesn't always work. But getting really clear on the company
for sure.
And whole and collectively, what are we trying to do? And are you here for that with me or no? That, you know, that's a big deciding factor and makes it really easy to keep the right people around and not waste too much time on the ones that aren't a good fit for it.
Yeah. Is a key in keeping good employees, is it helping develop them as people and helping work them towards their goals and kind of that being a focus in the business rather than you're here simply for the business? Like what's a key to finding and keeping good people on board?
Yeah, I think it's just presenting that opportunity. You know, I'm not here to try to push anybody into growth. If you're happy coming to work every day and cleaning houses, and this is what you want to do for the next 10 years, and you don't want to push your development and growth, that's okay. Not everybody is on the path of you know, wanting to go big and do all of these things. There's plenty of people that are very happy with just doing what they need to do day to day, and doing it in an environment that's conducive to supporting their lifestyle. So we do things like, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? What kind of hours do you want to be working that's really going to support that kind of lifestyle? And how can we create a schedule that works for you that's also going to still bring you the income that you need to make? How can we work with you on finding other ways to fill that gap if needed? So yeah, really putting that focus on them and what's important to them, and then just opening the opportunity to explore how we can get them there together. But also, you know, I have to like reel myself in a lot and say, I'm not here to tell you.
That makes sense.
Try to convert you into my ways of thinking, but I'm definitely here to support you in developing yours.
Right, for sure. That makes complete sense. Like, you can never push somebody into anything that they're not willing to. Like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I mean, that's never more true than for people. A lot of people, they just want the job for the money. And like you said, I love how you put it, helping them create the lifestyle or like knowing what kind of life they want to live, and how can you support them with the business? How can the business support them in reaching those goals? That's very well put. I like that a lot. A couple of cleaning specific questions. I know with cleaning, you're going into people's houses and you're getting into their intimate spaces. So kind of, I mean, it's unique in that, like for me, if I go out to build somebody a deck, or depending what I'm doing, I'm not getting into somebody's personal belongings to act. So for a cleaning business, how do you ensure that, you know, you find people who are high integrity, that want to do a good job, that take care of their clients and actually do good work? Is there a process that you go through teaching and training? Is there a process by which you can weed out potential bad employees? Talk about that just a little bit, because it's unique to the cleaning industry.
Yeah, you're right. It's super intimate. You are in people's space and you watch their lives. Like, you're there all the time. I've had people that we've had for 6 years that I've like literally seen their kids grow up and, you know, watch them go from one home to another home and up-level their lives and see all of these things happening. We have a lot of qualifiers in place from the get-go to make sure that the people that we're hiring are, you know, responsible and going to show up and pass all of these first level things like being reliable, being able to read and follow instructions. We have a lot of preliminary questions that we ask that kind of gauge what are your values and what kind of things do you hold to, and how would you respond in these kinds of situations? And, you know, people can put on masks and they can make up stories and say what needs to be said for so long, but somewhere along the way with what we do have in place, they eventually will stumble on something or, a lot of times, honestly, with the questionnaire that I have that people fill out, if they're not actually into this because they care about what we're doing, they're very disinterested in filling in those answers, and they're very short. And so you can kind of gauge off of that. If we can't tell from then, and we have interviews and we talk to them, and you just ask a lot of questions. We do background checks too, of course, for for those reasons, because you don't ever know. So having that, I think, is really important. There's a lot of places that just contract work, and everybody that we hire is a W-2 employee. So they're going through every step that they need to go through to be insurable by us, and, you know, all of those things. And then we work very closely with them for 2 weeks to a month, depending on how quickly they catch on and how quickly we're comfortable with them. But it's just a lot of, you know, feeling into it and reading people and knowing what questions to ask and watching the ways that they're behaving and how they're acting around clients when they get in those situations. And honestly, most of our clients have pets, and that's always a good indicator too, is how the pets respond to the people that we're bringing into the home. Surprising how well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Pets are very intuitive, often a lot better than people are.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, we have a few that have finicky dogs that we just know are going to growl at everybody, but we take them into the ones with the homes with the dogs that we're like, okay, how's this one going to act with you? And that's a good indicator a lot of times too.
Yeah, it is. So I'm curious, you mentioned something in the form that I had you fill out before we started talking. You said something that you wish you had known when you were starting out was the value of self-trust. Mm-hmm. How were you able to develop that through the process of building 25th Hour Cleaning?
Man, this business has definitely been like one of the key things in building that in myself. I grew up pretty insecure about making decisions and didn't really know how to feel into my gut instincts and know what was right and what was not right and all of those little things. So building this and moving through a lot of wrong decisions and a lot of things that didn't get me where I wanted to go, and facing that frustration a few times, really pushed towards like, okay, what is it that I need to do to be able to make decisions that are going to work, that are like, there's people out here that are just making decisions like snapping their fingers and they just know what to do next and it comes easily. How are they doing that? So really digging into how does that part happen? And self-trust became one of the biggest things. I heard somewhere that confidence is one of the most important things to have as a leader. And that confidence, the word comes from, I think it was a Latin word of confidere or confidentia, something like that. But it meant full trust. And for me is what, I mean, confidence and self-trust are basically interchangeable then, right? I didn't ever think about that before. I thought confidence is just like something else, just like this energy of, you know, being in there and very sure, but it just didn't click with me for a long time that was just having trust in yourself and in your intuition and in your knowings and the decisions that you're making, and trusting that you're being led down the right path and guided towards the right things. You know, that comes into getting clarity around your vision and those things too, right? Once you really can see it, once you really know this is what I'm here for in this, then the self-trust and the confidence comes along with that, because you're gauging every decision that you make off of, does this fit my vision? Is this serving my purpose? Is this getting me where I'm meant to be going? Does this feel like what I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, really checking in with that. When I spend time in prayer in the mornings with those things, it's this checking in internally. Do I feel right in what I'm doing? Is there surety here? Am I being clearly guided? Or is there any area where I'm still not certain? And I think that is probably the biggest key, is knowing where am I certain, where am I not? And if I'm not, why am I not? What questions do I still need answers to? What do I still need to check in with myself about? What do I still need to surrender to God? what's standing in the way of that? Why is this resistance here?
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Like, I've never heard it put that way, but I mean, when you when you hear it, it's like, well, yeah, duh, that of course that's what it means, because you can't have confidence, you can't have trust, you can't know and step out in those decisions unless you know what it is that you want, unless you know what you're working towards.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense that confidence is trust in self while knowing where it is you're going. And you can only have that if you know what it is that you're working towards. So kind of all works together. Yeah. And when you hear it put that simply, it's like, it's a no brainer, even though I've never put it together like that. It's like, I should have, because it's so simple, but we don't.
I mean, I've said the same thing. Sometimes. I never thought about it like that. And I had a quote in my office for the longest time that said, if you're not sure about what you want, stop asking for it. Because I'm one who's known to jump ahead, and I get grand ideas and I get these things that I want to do. And I'm just like, let's dive into this before really doing that background work and really checking in with myself on what that looks like and doing the preparation.
And then it's like,
right?
Oh shoot, what did I get into?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, doing that before you really know for sure, I mean, it's just a distraction 90% of the time from what you're really going towards.
Yeah.
And not that none of those things can come in later on and add to the picture, but it doesn't have
for
to be
sure.
right now. And you really have to be able to distinguish what's coming to you. What premonitions are you having about 5 and 10 years from now versus where do you really need to have your focus in this moment? And can you put energy into other things while you're still trying to build this piece right now? Like, don't get distracted from what is laid out for you clearly already.
Yeah, for sure. That, well said. Leadership or business takes a lot of leadership. And oftentimes when we start out to grow a business, our leadership skills aren't the best. So I'm curious if there's been a person, a book, a podcast, what did you do to develop your leadership, and is there something specifically that influenced your leadership ability and skills?
Man, there's a lot, actually. I follow so many big people, and just try to fill myself with that a lot, because, you know, we are what we consume. And so all over the place, I'm looking for what can influence this and help it grow. Gary Vaynerchuk is one of the people that I follow. Gary V, I think, is what his podcast is called, but he talks a lot about kindness and leadership and using kind candor. And when I came across him, a lot of what he was saying really resonated with me. It really fit what I was seeing for the future of employment. We went through this whole period where, what was it, the Great Regression that everybody was talking about. Everybody wants to go live in vans and travel rather than be working full time. Nobody wanted to do that anymore. And so really looking at, well, why? Because people have been working and doing things to fulfill themselves for centuries. And what's making people not want to give themselves to this anymore? And how can we help them still want to be a part? Like, all the different jobs matter in a community, all the things that are being done, that every single thing brings value. And so how have we gotten to the point where people don't see the value that they're bringing, and how do we change that? And I mean, a lot of it is just being open and kind and having empathy and, you know, showing compassion and grace for people. And so he taught a lot of that. He talks about it a lot, and that helped me know that it's not impossible. There was a guy, first of all, doing it. He's a man, not a female. And and he's in this big place, you know, his company's huge, and came from small things too. So that was really encouraging. Most recently, I had a mentor that had me read a book called It's Okay to Be the Boss. That was pretty helpful. And just breaking down, like, you can do, like I said, my people pleasing was through the roof. And when she suggested that book, I chuckled a little and was like, well, it's nice to know that so many people need permission to be the boss, that there was a book written about it.
Right.
because I thought I was alone here. I just see all these other people being bosses, but you don't realize that, you know, actual management is something that is sorely lacking in the majority of companies right now.
It is.
And that's what he talks about a lot in that book, that management is needed. People need to be guided. They need to be led. They need to have clear guidelines. Otherwise, you're doing a disservice for them. You're not letting them be successful because you're not making it, you're not setting a clear path for them. They don't know. They're guessing. And that's the worst position to be in. When you have to guess what to do for your success, at what's going to make somebody happy, like, none of us like being there. So that really woke me up to, like, oh, I see why this is important now and why I need to be able to develop that ability. And then communication wise, just being able to talk, you know, there's another book that's a parenting book that I read called How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen and How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk, or the other way around. I don't remember. But
that's one. I've read it. That's a great one.
And I was like, for being a manager? And she was like, yeah, I know it sounds funny to take a parenting book and use it for this, but I promise it'll be helpful. And, you know, I have teenagers too. So it was helpful in both worlds. And I was just like, oh my goodness. So both of those books were very influential in getting to this next level of leading people forward and doing it with that confidence and clarity and hopefully actually setting them up for a little bit more success in what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You mentioned something about, people not wanting to work, the great regression, and fulfillment and people needing to find fulfillment in work. And that could be like a whole nother hour long podcast all by itself. And we won't get into that. We're getting up on 30 minutes right now, but it's interesting when you look at how over the years, you know, until the last 100 years, people's life and work was working to live, working to get food to put on the table. It was just working to survive. Now, the majority of our time, we're working to get things that we want or things that we have to have that aren't really that necessary to life all the time, but it's almost a must have because of the place that we live in. And people they have an innate desire to be fulfilled in the work that they do. Once you're past the survival mode, you want your work to have meaning. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point of it? And I could go on for hours on that topic, but I'd like to ask you one last question before we wrap up, because we're a little over the 30-minute mark, which is great. I love these. This has been fantastic conversation. But I always like to ask people, what's something that you would tell a young person kind of coming up where you were at 10 years ago, and this young person, say, wants to start a business and doesn't know what they want to do, how to go about it, or anything like that. Like, they don't know business. Tell that young person about what to do and where to go and who to look to learn that leadership that you had to learn.
Ooh, good question. My first answer to that is in yourself, going internally, really taking that time to get to know who you are and what you actually enjoy. Asking those questions that give you the discernment between what the world is expecting of you that you feel obligated to fulfill versus what you've actually been called here to fulfill. Those are two very different things for most people. And a lot of us have been raised in places where we're kind of, well, I mean, everybody is. You're molded and you're conditioned to what your family is doing or what your immediate culture and surroundings are about. And that's not always what you're here for. sometimes you're here for other things. So, you know, making sure that you take that time to get clear with yourself and then start doing some research around who's done something big with these things, who's made this happen before. You know, we have the internet, we have everything. We can find people who have done just about anything and made it successful and earned multiple figures off of it. So finding that and then really diving into their content and the things that they're putting out. And, you know, you can go as hard as you want in that. I hear people talk all the time about connecting with those kinds of people and asking, you know, what can I do for you that can earn me your mentorship? What can I do that can get me a seat at the table to help build what you're doing and learn from you at the same time? You know, that's what real mentorship and apprenticeship type things were back in the day.
Yeah.
You found somebody that was doing what you wanted to do and you were their apprentice and you worked and you did what needed to be done so that you could learn that and develop yourself into what you wanted to be. And I think we've lost that a little bit. You know, it's not, it takes finding the people that are open to offering it, but also it just takes the grit to push through until you find somebody who is. But there's all sorts of opportunities for small businesses in local communities. I know Columbia has so many small business networks and women's business networks and a lot of different meetings and community pieces. So looking at your local community, I think, is super important too. Finding the resources there, because as great as the internet is, it's very lonely when you don't connect with the people nearby who are trying to do what you're doing and you hit burnout.
In person is definitely better.
Yeah, you can hit burnout so quickly with that. So finding those people that are around you that can at least be supportive and talk and open your mind and expand with you is super important.
Yeah, for sure. Beautiful answer. I love that. And I think that's a great place to wrap up. If somebody wants to follow you or reach out to you for a little guidance on to even see if, like, hey, I've been thinking about starting a cleaning business, maybe you can give me some pointers. Where can somebody find you or connect with you? Or if somebody happens to listen to this from your local area, where can they find your business to reach and have their home cleaned?
Our business website is 25thHourCleaning.com. You can contact me directly through there. There's a little contact form on our website. You can book services through there too. I'm on social media, but don't use it a whole lot. So on Facebook, it's Tiffany Irene. We have a Facebook page too for the business that's 25th Hour Cleaning. And then there's email at tiffany@25thHourCleaning.com. That's always the best place for people to reach me still right now while I'm in the middle of all the background work. But those, I guess, are probably the easiest places.
Awesome. Sounds great. Tiffany, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast talking to you again.